Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
20 years ago, Miriam O'Callaghan was asked to write her memoir, but at the time, life, work, and everything got in the way. But after another nudge from Penguin in 2023, Miriam took to her desk and wrote about just that, life, work, and everything for her memoir, which spans her childhood in Cornell's Court, first television appearance, which was on Kenny Live with moi, to a regular presence on every major national event. A lot has happened since we both last sat down on Kenny Live, so we're going to fill in some of the gaps. Miriam, good morning and welcome.
Oh, good morning, Pat. Lovely to be here.
I don't remember a lot of stuff that I've done on television over the years. There's been so much of it, but I do remember that occasion and why you were invited on, because you had been working as a researcher on This Is Your Life.
That's right. Yeah, and it was my first job in television, actually. And it was presented by, you know, Eamon Andrews, who you and I know was a huge star.
He was a legend.
Was a legend, actually. And at the time, This Is Your Life was getting like 24 million viewers, Pat. It was a huge show. So anyway, I then left after a couple of years and I went to the BBC as a producer. And one day I got a phone call when I was in Hong Kong producing a show called Kilroy. And it was a hotel in Hong Kong. And a lovely guy called Kevin Linehan phoned me. You'll remember him well. Mm-hmm. He was producing your show. This was 1989. And he said, he left me a message and I came back from the show we'd produced out there. And I rang him back and he said, Miriam, look, a man called Tom Brennan has written a book about Eamon Andrews. And it's extremely critical of Eamon. And we were just wondering, since you're a young Irish woman, I was 29 at the time, who'd worked with Eamon, would you ever come on Pat's show and, you know, talk about Eamon, your memory of him? And I was thinking, that's the last thing I need to do now.
There was kind of sly implications in that book about Eamon, which none of us liked, but we had no way of kind of presenting the other side. So you were the other side.
Yeah, that's exactly it. So I flew home and I remember you were extremely nice to me. I actually liked Tom Brennan. He was a writer on This Is Your Life for years, but he didn't get on well with Eamon yet. And he said so many critical things. So I went on your show with him. I have to say, Pat, it was the first time my parents thought I had a proper job because they were so impressed by you. Up until then, I had been a solicitor. I'd gone into some TV they'd never heard of over in the UK. But when I went on your show, they thought, ah, maybe she's doing something quite serious. Pat Kenny wants her on
the
show.
But the moment we remember, I remember from that show, as I say, I remember not a lot. It's all one big curious mixture. But Tom walked off.
He walked off, didn't he? Because I was saying, Tom, I really like you, but that's not the truth.
But this
about
is nonsense,
Eamon.
Yeah.
Eamon was a lovely man.
He then made the mistake of walking back on again.
Which was decent of him to come back on, wasn't it?
I just thought he lost everything then. You know, he walked off in high dudgeon. I am right, Miriam is wrong. And then he kind of came back.
Actually, I was very fond of him. And we sat in your green room. We had a great time, actually. But the funniest thing about that is that clip emerged years later on YouTube. And it's still on YouTube, right? But all my kids used to say to me, you sound like Princess Diana, because I had a very English voice.
Now, the book is about everything, as you say. It's about your growing up. It's about your siblings. It's about your mom and dad. And particularly it's about, there's a big section on your sister Anne, whom I knew very well. I mean, She was absolutely beautiful, gorgeous. Yeah. She, both in physical appearance and also in spirit, she was just a lovely woman.
I'm so lovely for you to say that, Pat. Yeah, I always say, Pat, it's like my BC and AD. I say that in the book. I mean, I was one of five. I was the second child, but we were born a year apart and we happened to start having children together around the same time. So we were very close at the special time she got ill. And I just remember one day, Pat, that she was in my home and we were both holding our babies and she said she didn't feel well. But look, should we all say that, especially when you're tired with babies? But 5 months later, she died of stomach cancer. And
I mean, it was just unbelievable to any of us who knew her. How could this be?
That's exactly it, Pat. I thought, how could this be? This is beyond cruel. And I was so upset, and I actually couldn't believe it. But I was more upset for my mother and father, because probably a bit like yourself, my parents were country people. My dad was from a very small farm in Kerry. My mum was from Laois, the daughter of a Garda sergeant. She's a national teacher. He was a civil servant. But you're like, they were that generation. They never really went out, Pat. They kind of gave everything they earned to their kids. So we get a good education, free schools, but a good education. And then life came along and kicked them in the face.
Now, your own education was rapid. You left school at, what, 16?
16, yeah.
And went straight to college?
I went straight into UCT Law at 16. But you see, my mother was a teacher. So her way of childminding, Pat, was she threw us all into national school when I was 3.5. So, yeah, I went. But I have no regrets.
But I mean, graduating at the age of 19, it's ridiculous because it was a 3-year course at the time.
Yeah.
So 1, 2, 3, gone, out.
Yeah. And I was actually quite shy. So I didn't really know much in UCD. I didn't really avail of the experience. My best friend and I, Maria, would just walk around. She's tiny and I'm a giant, so everyone recognised us. But yeah, but then I went to Blackhall Place and became a solicitor.
And you did practice for a while. And you write about one little sexual harassment thing that happened to you in a solicitor's office. An older boy decided he wanted to date you.
Yeah, and then he wasn't happy about it when I rejected his advances, Pat. And I remember at the time being quite shocked by that because I hadn't come across it before. All the men in my life, my dad, my brother were lovely. Yeah, and I remember one day in particular was going on. He would shout at me because I had rejected his advances. I wouldn't go out with him. And then there was another gorgeous solicitor who I won't mention, a younger guy, but older than me. And one day he put him up against the wall and he said, "You abuse her once more and I'm going to thump you." But the lovely thing is, Pat, years later, my daughter Clara went, she was in Trinity and she met a girl who turned out to be the lovely guy's daughter. I said, "Please tell your father." He was my saviour years ago.
And there are serendipitous moments right throughout the book. For instance, when you come across John Hume's grandson.
I know. The amazing thing is, I love John Hume and we both know we've covered the North so much that lots of people were involved in the peace process. But I personally feel that without John Hume, it would not have happened.
He made the ultimate sacrifice, which cost his party.
Absolutely.
By bringing Gerry Adams in from the cold.
And in the end, that solved the problem on this island, Pat. I really believe that. And he ultimately sacrificed his health, I believe. But anyway, long story short, I campaigned for him to win this title, Ireland's Greatest. It's not that it meant that much, but it meant a lot to him. So I loved him. But then one day I came home from prime time, just about 5 years ago. My youngest boy was in second year in school. And I come home from prime time and have the same thing. I have a glass of red wine, toast and cheese. I'm very boring. And then my youngest son, who was 13, said, "Oh, Mum, this boy says you know his grandparents." And I'm going, yeah, right. I said, "Oh, who are your grandparents?" He said, "Oh, they're John and Pat Hume." And I literally turned and I said, "You're John and Pat Hume's grandson?" And he's a beautiful boy called Ollie Hume. So, yeah, it was a serendipitous.
Now, you talk about your boys. Of course, you had four girls first with Tom and then four boys. It's quite ridiculous. What are the odds? What are the odds?
I'm an ad. Change the partner if you want to change the sex of your children. Yeah, but I'm in. How lucky am I, Pat? I know you have healthy kids. I have 8 healthy, happy children. I won the lotto 8 times.
Now,
hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2 times the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpoints.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
I remember when I was working with you. I mean, this is the only time we've had an interview together.
Yeah.
First time was Kenny Live and now this one. That you would say that you weren't working for the money because every penny you had, you spent on childcare.
Yeah.
But and you had two stalwarts. that you quote in the book, and they became not just childminders, but firm friends.
100%. And Lorraine actually is godmother to my boy Connor. But like, do you ever, and Bridget is brilliant, she's from Bunkrana as well. I only now, you know, don't need any more childcare. But you know when you see Angelina Jolie and she comes off a private jet and she's holding her 29 kids and you know there's about 1,000 childminders on the plane? I never do that. The only reason I have a career path is because I had brilliant childcare and I poured all my money into it.
Yeah, it was a non-profit enterprise you were broadcasting at that period. In
yeah, but I was, it meant I could do what I love to do. And I'm, you know, it worked.
Now, there are points in your life where things kind of, your annus horribilis was 1995.
Five, yeah.
And you talk about that because Anne obviously passed and your dad. And you were away when you got news of his stroke.
Yeah, Anne died. And I always remember the moment, Pat, as well. We were in St. Vincent's Hospital and the day before she died and I was in a lift with my mum and dad. And my dad was a man of few words, you know, civil servant, very steady Eddie, as I say, solid guy. And then he started to cry and he said, Miriam, the jewel in our crown, we're losing the jewel in our crown. He adored Anne. And I was so angry in that moment. And then Anne died. My world came to a halt. I went west with my four little girls just to get some breathing space. And it was kind of before mobile phones. I got a message from the local post office to say my brother Jim had phoned and could I phone him urgently. And basically said, Miriam, sorry to tell you, Daddy had a stroke walking out the gate to get Anne's mass card printed. How tragic. And he died 2 days later. So within 8 weeks, I lost my sister and my dad.
And do you think that your dad's premature demise was because of his sense of loss?
Without a doubt, Pat. He was 75, you know. He was a healthy man. He's a man of great faith. My mum still is of great faith. I don't think he could believe it. I think he died of a broken heart.
Now, that changed your life because you decided that you were going to separate and that led ultimately to marriage number two.
Yeah.
But you give lessons on divorce that you and Tom McGuirk, as every people will know, that you managed to continue co-parenting very successfully and with your split up was, if not amicable, it was rational and without rancour.
Well, I believe, Pat, we've only one life. This is it. And, you know, if we make the decision to separate, I always feel very sad when lots of grandparents are caught up in the collateral damage and it's full of anger and people say, oh, if you have a row, you clear the air. I don't believe that, Pat. If you have a row, people say mean things. So we co-parented brilliantly. And I think our children are a tribute to that. And I also gained two beautiful children when I married Tom, and I'm still incredibly friendly with his daughter, Alicia, and I still call her my daughter. And she's very much part of my life.
And Tom is remarried and you're friendly with his wife.
And she couldn't be a better stepmother to my daughters. It works. You know, my only advice, I don't really dispense advice, is just be decent and kind and respectful. Mm. By and large, that works.
Now, this is, I was going to say tell-all, but it's not tell-all because you have made a decision to be kind. In other words, that there are things you could say, but you're not saying because it would be unkind.
Well, why would you say something mean about anybody in life? I'm sorry. Like, I know people live, it's no Prince Harry's book. I wasn't going to throw grenades into other people's lives. And I think it's why it took me so long to write it, Pat, because I couldn't work out how I could write it and not hurt people. But I think I've achieved that and I'm delighted.
Now, the kind of job that you had, as I said, you were at every major event, most of them national, of national importance, some of international importance. But the way the job can interfere with your life, for example, the Oma bombing happened during a christening party.
I know.
And a 30th for Steve.
Yeah, absolutely, Pat. You know, when I thought about how will I write this memoir and not hurt people? I thought, oh, I'll just write it about my career. Then I really realised I couldn't do that because the prologue actually, because I suddenly remember this, was I was christening my baby son, Jack. I was pregnant with my son, Daniel, and it was Steve's 30th birthday. And we live in Rathmines and it was a really sunny day. And the house was full of people, full of journalists, of course, and civil servants. And my little girls, I remember, and my nieces were dancing on a bouncing castle. It was the time they were a big thing in 1998.
I think they still are.
And the Spice Girls, and everyone was having fun. And then in a moment, everything changed. I noticed people looking at their pagers. We had a lot of people there from where we worked on Newsnight and from RT. And within about 10 minutes, everyone who was a journalist was gone because the Omagh bomb had gone off that day. And so many people lost their lives. And I remember Noel Curran, who was my editor of Primetime, came up to me and said, Miriam, would you feel up to presenting a special Primetime as a Saturday? I said, of course. And I remember leaving my son's christening. There can be no good reason to leave your son's christening, Pat, apart from a catastrophe like this.
Now, what happens when Miriam becomes part of the story? And I'm thinking of the presidency. As I remember, you were taking Irish lessons when I was working with you in prime time.
But that wasn't for the presidency.
But you were taking Irish lessons.
I was, actually. That's because I love the language. That really is. No, because I think I heard you say the day, oh, yeah, she was tuning for the presidency. But look,
well, that's what we all thought.
I know. But look, it's a rumour that never went away. And probably there's part of my brain, Pat, that never wants to rule anything completely out for a while until I've made a decision. But like 17 years on from when the rumour first started, I just put a statement out. But I kept putting statements out saying, I'm not running for the presidency. But the rumour doesn't go away.
Now, the opportunity to present The Late Late Show came your way and you said, yes, I'll do it if I can continue to do at least one episode of Prime Time a week.
Yeah.
And then?
And then they wouldn't let me do that. And I do remember Ed Mulhall, the great head of news and current affairs.
Great head of...
That was when you left, Pat, actually. You chose to leave The Late Late. And then it was like every newspaper was like, it's going to be Ryan Tubridy or Jerry Ryan or Miriam O'Callaghan. So you become part of this race for a job you don't even know that you want. But when they told me I couldn't do one prime time, I mean, they could have let me. And then, so I'm not saying they wanted me, but long story short, I met Ed Mulhall on the way over to seeing Carl Gone and Noel Curran. You know, they were talking to me about the job. And Ed said, Miriam, I don't think you should leave. So I wrote a letter to Carl and Noel, pulling myself out. But sure, I didn't realise the day after Ryan was announced as the presenter, and he was brilliant like yourself, I walked into the garage after dropping my little children to school, and there was a sea of newspapers with my picture going, loser. And I was realising, you know, when you get lost in a story, and I thought, oh my God. But when you're explaining, you're losing. So I just let it go.
Mm. People reading the book will say, how in God's name did she manage? I mean, she had four girls, then she had four boys. Okay, she had some childminders, but she seemed to kind of have these babies effortlessly.
Oh no, I didn't. Read my chapter about, I had so many emergencies, like nothing went right in my pregnancies. Oh, no, the pregnancies were brilliant, but the births were chaotic.
But you've had every kind of birth imaginable.
According to my obstetrician, who was the professor of obstetrics in UCD. So I said, if you say a Colm O'Herlihy, I agree with it. But he actually saved my youngest son's life, I believe, very quickly, Pat. My youngest son, I had a thing called a placenta previa, and he nearly died. And I woke in the middle of the night, massive hemorrhage, long story short, went into Hollis Street, was there for hours. I was convinced the little boy, he was 21 weeks, couldn't survive that. And Steve kept saying, oh, he might. All the other doctors, a lovely doctor called Moses, the nurses were saying, no, Miriam, he will. I'm a terrible trait of being too black and white, Pat. I said, no, he can't survive that. Long story short, Professor Hurley walks in at about 6 in the morning and I thought he was going to sympathise. And he goes, Miriam, you're going to cop yourself on now. Because if you give up on this baby, he is going to give up on you. And Pat, in that moment, I changed. And he's now a 6'2", 19-year-old fella, student, gorgeous looking.
Looking at the pictures in the book, you are a tall family.
Yes, we are
all of a tall family. Yeah, the girls, the boys, everybody.
Yeah, that is true, Pat.
Are you happy with the reaction to the book? I mean, I think it's a fabulous read. I mean, it gives, I know you well enough over the years, but and I know many of the people about whom you speak.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's not a word of a lie in it, as far as I'm concerned. It's
Thank
terrific.
You, Pat. You know, I was worried, like you. I read every review. I'm not one of these people who don't. I do. Sometimes I think they're dead right. I was rubbish there. But they've been so beautiful and positive, and I've just been really relieved and grateful.
Well, as I say, it's a terrific book. It's you can't miss it in the bookstores because it's got
it's
a picture
beautiful.
Of Miriam.
Do you think it looks
lovely?
It's
a very nice picture on the
Evan
front.
Evan Doherty took that.
It's simply called Miriam, Life, comma, Work, comma, Everything. And it certainly does contain all of that. Miriam O'Callaghan, thank you very much for joining us in studio today.
Thank you so much, Pat.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.